This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes, Delamitri rolled to me. Yeah, it's Friday morning. CliffCentral.com. Sia's birthday on Sunday, so there was a little bit of a celebration just now. He's got a beautiful cake here that he's going to devour for breakfast, because Sia eats sweets for breakfast.
That is his,
It's basically his staple food, sugar.
Healthy family. Mm. His nephew eats nuggets.
Yes.
Chicken nuggets and
By
cake.
The way, the feedback is rolling in.
Oh, no.
About Yolo's song, Chicken Nuggets Trap Version, which we spent hours and hours here producing, and people love it.
Wow.
So, it is one of the catchiest riffs I've ever heard. So you're going to probably hear it once or twice more. Brace yourself. At least it's short, right?
Okay. It's a talent.
Just by the way, if you've got milk and bread, then you're lucky, because most people forget those things and have to get them every week and go down to the shops. It's a pain in the backside. But for Spaza shops, they solve many people's problems every single day. So what happened when the Spaza shops realized that they had a problem? One guy had a perfect solution. What am I talking about? Well, you can get our second episode of the series, The Naked Economy, which is getting loads of downloads on CliffCentral.com. Tells the behind-the-scenes stories of businesses that think outside of the box and the people that make them work. The Naked Economy. Have you listened to it yet? You need to get onto it. It's on CliffCentral.com, and you can find that and a whole lot of other great podcast series. This is what we're doing. This year, it's going to be a busy year. There are going to be tons of great series for you to listen to. The whole idea of having like a bunch of shows is changing. We're changing it into series of podcasts. So you know you're going to download, for example, 6 episodes or something. You can listen to it like you would watch a Netflix series from beginning to end, binge it, and then maybe listen to it again.
Very good.
Yeah. So The Naked Economy is on CliffCentral.com. Go and download it today. So I think we've got to get straight to Leanne's results from her sleep apnea tests, because she couldn't breathe while she was sleeping. Wow. You lie on your back, your side, your stomach?
Anyway, doesn't matter.
Right.
So sleep apnea, or obstructive sleep apnea, is when your throat closes as you start going into a deeper sleep. And you do have apnea if you stop breathing for 10 seconds.
Oh my God, you could die.
It is. It's potentially life-threatening.
Yeah, sure.
The thing is that it has a huge effect on your heart as well, because your heart has to work really hard to recover after you haven't drawn breath for 10 seconds.
Sure.
So, we have the results.
All right,
let's
get them.
Official results.
She's actually got them on a printed piece of paper. This is very exciting. All right, Leanne, over to you. Let's hear the results.
Right. Well, when I arrived, the pulmonologist, who's a lung doctor, who analyzes these sleep tests, was almost rubbing his hands in glee when I arrived.
God. Uh-oh, that can only be bad.
Yeah. So my sleep test results read as follows. Every night, I stop breathing for 10 seconds and then wake up. How many times an hour do you think I do this?
Oh, shucks. Every 10 seconds. You stop breathing for every 10 seconds.
No, I stop breathing for 10 seconds. That's called an apneic event. So how many of those apneic events do you think I have in an hour?
I really hope no more than 2.
I'll say 45.
That's ridiculous.
Okay, well, 5 times an hour is normal and is nothing to be worried about. It does happen to some people. 5 to 15 is mild.
Yeah.
15 to 30 is moderate. 30 and above is severe.
I'd imagine people 30 and above really don't have a good night's sleep ever.
Well, in an hour, for it to happen 30 times.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay,
no,
so mine,
just thinking about
mine
it.
Happens between 61 and 102 times per hour.
How you're a disaster. You should have died at 17.
He doesn't know how I'm still alive. I basically don't breathe the
are
whole
you,
night.
Are you a freak of nature? I mean, you're some kind of...
Yeah, that is frightening.
You're like a coelacanth. You shouldn't be here.
Your cat administers CPR without you knowing throughout the night.
Well, the one does sleep on my chest. Maybe she's picked up the hint.
So your cats keep you alive.
My God, Leah.
See, you look genuinely concerned.
So, wow. I'm so sorry.
So hang on a second. So this happens 100 times in an hour. Your heart's like, oh, God, I've dozed off again.
So after 10 seconds of not breathing, you wake up and sometimes you're aware of it, sometimes you're not. I'm aware of it. I was not aware that it was this many times.
Holy shit.
Okay, so secondly, only 12% of my night is spent in REM sleep. The normal is 25. So I'm really not getting much good sleep there. Mm. I sleep in sleep stage 1, 2, and 3 mostly.
What are you meant to be in?
REM, which is the next one. Okay, and then my favorite part. Oh, firstly.
Sorry, I'm not being sympathetic, but this is, you shouldn't even be alive.
No, it's ridiculous.
I don't know how you function on not enough rest.
How no, are they going
to
treat this?
There's no restorative sleep. Yes, I'll get to that.
Okay.
So I basically sleep like a shark with one eye open in those very superficial levels. And when I do manage to sleep, the level of oxygen in my body, SpO2, drops from 100% to 66% because I'm just not breathing. So it could be the cause or contributing factor to every single condition that I've been medicated for.
So might have been a really good thing you discovered this eventually.
Exactly.
Because it could be treated now and you'll lose all the other problems.
I've heard of people losing weight when they
You could come out of this looking like a supermodel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anxiety, depression, high blood pressure, hyperglycemia or low blood sugar.
It doesn't explain your bad relationships and alcoholism, though.
Hypothyroidism and reflux. All of those could be because of this.
Yeah, but those two I mentioned, those are really just you.
That goes without saying. That will never disappear. Then our favorite part, the snoring.
Yes.
So a typical person has a snore index.
Oh.
Of 25.
Snordex.
Snordex. Mine is 252.2. Oh.
Wow.
I snore 1,957 times a night.
But yeah, 1,000?
You must have major anxiety when it comes to bedtime.
It's like, I do. I don't want to fall asleep. I'm too scared to.
It's like being in like a Freddy Krueger movie. Jeez. I've got to stay awake.
It's awful. You know,
horrible.
My cleaner arrived one Saturday morning and I decided to sleep in. And at about 12 o'clock, she couldn't take it anymore. She opened the door and said, I've been so worried. It sounds like you're dying.
Shame.
But how do you get fixed?
So now
how do you fix yourself for
today
this?
Today I go for a titration device fitting.
Uh-huh.
That's a CPAP machine or a ventilator.
Hmm.
So it looks like a Darth Vader mask.
Yeah, but these all seem like nice things to do. Is there any way you can fundamentally try to fix yourself, though?
You can go for surgery to change your soft palate and stuff, but you don't want to do that because a lot of this machine will eventually improve you until you won't need it anymore. It goes right down your throat. So I've got to sleep with that every night.
Okay, so you
get like a trial device for 2 to 3 nights.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. No, apparently it's very claustrophobic and strange. But I'm going to give it my all.
This is the actual sound of Leanne sleeping.
Because if I can sleep, if he said I'll feel the difference in like 2 to 3 days of just having some sleep, finally.
God, I feel sorry for you. I really do. Mm.
Sleep is like the most important.
I'm so glad that I went for this first to tackle this.
But it's taken you a long time to get to this doctor.
Yeah.
You've spent a lot of years in misery that you didn't have to spend.
And then he looked at the rest of me and he was like, I'm giving you an empath blood lab thingy chart. Go and have lots of tests. My work on you is not yet done.
Wow, you're a project. He's going to be busy for a long time.
Oh, dear.
Well, there we are.
Oh. So, anyone want to come for a sleepover?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Slumber party?
No.
No.
But actually, I think I must correct myself then, because relationships, I mean, it's impossible to have a relationship if this is.
Well, I was told by my last partner that it was impossible to sleep next to me, and he made us sleep in separate rooms. Hmm. I didn't understand it. I now do.
Oh, so if you say you didn't understand it, like, did you go through a phase of thinking, this is normal?
Yeah, but no, I guess in your mind you're thinking, how bad could it be?
You
yeah.
Know?
Like, I guess you're thinking, how bad could it really be?
Yeah.
Those numbers are quite something, though.
Really?
And the snoring is loud. You know, the sleep therapist heard it through the walls. In fact, I
through the padded
ended up
walls.
Sleeping over at a friend's house once, and I woke up in the morning and the bed was empty. I went to the lounge and she was sitting on the sofa. She looked horrific. Her hair was all over the place.
She hadn't slept.
She looked so angry. Her eyes were red. And I said to her, "What are you doing here?" And she said, "I have never heard a sound like that come out of a woman."
But didn't you also say when you were in the hospital, your fellow ward mates were praying to you while you were sleeping?
The one was kicking my bed and screaming at me to stop snoring. She had burnt her house down the day before, so I didn't want to mess with her.
She had seen some trauma, but your story is what tipped the boat for her.
She burnt her house down the day before.
Yes, we were in the psych ward.
But just on an average night's sleep for you, are you now, so you have these moments that last for 10 seconds. Do you wake up consciously, or can you now almost in a bit of a slumber state?
I'd say like 80% of it I don't realize is happening.
Okay, so you still get a good chunk of sleep then?
Bad sleep. Bad sleep.
Okay, because in my head I thought every so often you had to literally wake up, eyes open. Then you...
People have problems, man.
Yeah, you aren't getting
sleep. I don't realize it. You'd think a lot of our things were solved, our problems, but... Clearly, there are things that people are suffering from that they only figure out.
Severe snoring was recorded.
Oh my God.
Is that what the doctor said?
It says on the,
just read it now.
On the report. That's hilarious.
Severe snoring.
Couple of messages that are coming in. Ben, to correct you, Thor is the god of lightning, like a storm. Western province stormers. Pay attention, Clint from the Vaal.
No, Clint, no. Do you get lightning in the Cape? You should know this being in the Vaal.
There we go. Dazzle, dazzle, seer, have a beautiful birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Is that the same crystal from Real Housewives of Joburg? No, they're two different crystals, but we are going to get that crystal back in here. She was a real hit. People loved her.
Yes.
So our crystal is Sensational Sugar Crystal, who makes these beautiful cakes. And then there's Crystal from Johannesburg's Real Housewives. Which is something we've got to revisit as well. So she'll come in sometime.
Oh, guys, and don't forget, we're all watching The Bachelor, which starts on Valentine's Day.
On the 14th.
We committed to this last year. Yep. We have to follow through.
We're doing it.
Yes.
Friday with you lunatics is the best. Thanks for making my recovery at home bearable. That's Michelle. Thank you, Michelle.
After her surgery.
That's right. Didn't she have her penis removed?
Oh.
That's a different Michelle.
Different,
yeah.
Different Michael.
Michael become Michelle. Mfundo is listening to us, and Ruane says, "Speaking of Baby Shark, Sia, you should listen to the Baby Shark R&B version. No, it's okay. I think we'll be all right." Wonder Leanne can't bring herself to walk the dog. Jesus, sleepless Louise.
Yes, exactly. I battle to function every day. Every day is very hard.
Leanne, please remind me of the name of the place you went to in December. Since my dad passed away 3 years ago, my mom has had such issues sleeping, snoring, insomnia, etc. She literally never sleeps. It's a stress for her now. This sounds like promising research.
It's a company or a group called Skin Renewal, and they have a sleep renewal section. So Morningside, however, I think they are based in other parts of the country as well.
Okay.
So look up skin renewal or sleep renewal.
And they'll tell you things like your severe snoring.
Wow, well, we're glad that you found out what this is. And maybe Leanne will be a different person from when she starts this treatment. Who knows?
Who knows?
We'll walk the journey with you.
All right, I'm done. Go for a nap.
All right. Here is something interesting on the issue of Marvel superheroes. Bill Maher, who I like, even though our politics are quite different a lot of the time. He's a smart dude. He got into trouble because when Stan Lee died, he criticized people for being grown adults who are obsessed with comics. And he got a lot of flack for that. I mean, I'm a Stan Lee fan. I'm a Marvel comic fan. But I don't dress up and go to Comic-Con.
You don't have the figurines?
No, I don't. So listen to what he says, and maybe you agree or disagree. I think this is interesting. All right, just listen to this quickly. You tell me.
He's asked me since November, "Bill, what do you have to say about Stan Lee?" And every paparazzi outside a restaurant who's still shouting at me, "Bill, what about the Stan Lee thing?" Okay, your day has come. Tonight's editorial is about Stan Lee. who, if you missed it, died in November. And a few days later, I posted a blog that was in no way an attack on Mr. Lee, but took the occasion of his death to express my dismay at people who think comic books are literature and superhero movies are great cinema, and who in general are stuck in an everlasting childhood. Bragging that you're all about the Marvel Universe is like boasting that your mother still pins your mittens to your sleeves.
I mean, this is an interesting phenomenon, right? These are the biggest mm-hmm. movies by a long way. Got the Infinity War. We've got Black Panther. We're living in a world where actually a lot of adults are somewhat infantilized by this stuff. They're certainly not reading George Orwell.
No.
You know what I mean? So maybe just give Bill a chance to explain himself here, and maybe you'll look deep into your soul and find something that you need to correct.
You can, if you want, like the exact same things you liked when you were 10. But if you do, you need to grow up. That was the point of my blog. I'm not glad Stan Lee is dead. I'm sad you're alive. And by the way, if someone says you're being childish and you react by throwing a tantrum, you're not Iron Man. You're Irony Man. Well, let me tell you, people were pissed about this post. I wasn't even aware that I had ruffled so many capes. Until I saw that 40,000 Twitter followers unfollowed me like that. To which I say, good riddance, follow Yogi Bear. Director Kevin Smith accused me of taking a shot when no shots are fucking necessary. Except again, my shot wasn't at Stan Lee. It was at, you know, grown men who still dress like kids. One comment said that Stan Lee has inspired children to believe in something bigger than them. And then added, congrats, you're a cunt, on the same level that Ann Coulter is a cunt. Boy, did you pick the wrong night to tune in. Other people tweeted things like, I learned about social justice and racial tolerance by reading comic books. Okay, but now you have pubic hair. Read James Baldwin. Read Toni Morrison. Read Michael Eric Dyson. Even a book as dumb as the Bible gets this. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things, including my X-Men bedsheets. Can we stop pretending that the writing in comic books is so good? Oh, please. Every superhero movie's the same thing. A person who doesn't have powers gets them, has to figure out how they work, and then has to find a glowy thing. Justice League, glowy thing. Iron Man, glowy thing. Spider-Man, glowy thing. Captain America, glowy thing. Glowy thing, glowy thing, glowy thing. And again, there's nothing wrong with a man writing comic books. There is something wrong with adults thinking they're profound. Mm-hmm. The folks at Stan's company, Team Stan, wrote an open letter to me and said, you have a right to your opinion that comics are childish and unsophisticated. Many said the same about Dickens, Steinbeck, Melville, and even Shakespeare. No, they didn't. No one ever said that. No one ever said King Lear or Moby Dick was childish and unsophisticated. If you ever read a book without pictures, you'd know that.
I like this.
Team Shakespeare should write you an open letter. Yes, Howard the Duck, Hamlet, same diff. To thine own self be true, meet Hulk smash. Comics are for kids. That's why they sell them next to the Pokemon cards and not on the aisle with the condoms and the lube. I'm sorry, but if you're an adult playing with superhero dolls, I'm sorry. I mean collectible action figures. Why not go all the way and drive to work on a big wheel? Grown-ups these days, they cling so desperately to their childhood that when they do attempt to act their age, they have a special word for it now. Adulting. Hey, world, look at me. I just made my own eye appointment. Hashtag adulting. Eating vegetables. Adulting. Today, I wiped my own ass. I guess I'm turning into my dad. Marriages have been destroyed because the husbands, adult men, can't stop playing video games. When your wife wants to have sex and you can't come to bed because you're about to level up in Fortnite, don't be surprised when your relationship does this.
Isn't that good?
Jeez, that's great.
That's so good.
Makes yeah. I'm a fan of these movies. I get it. He makes a very valid point about how some people just don't want to grow up, though. And as uncomfortable as it might be for some people to deal with this, maybe that's exactly what you need to do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as extreme where I don't want people like that to exist.
No, sure.
But I just don't want to know them.
Yeah, there's something weird about like the first world. I mean, this never happens in the third world because people got real problems. But it's almost like you have to create these villains in this alternate universe so that you have something to rail against. So you
people
know what,
are bored.
So you know what good and bad are, you know?
Yeah.
It's like you've never actually fought in a war, so you have to believe you're Captain America and there's some evil villain with superpowers who you're up against every morning so that you can make it through the day. It's very odd. There's some definite first world shit that's going down that we need to still figure our way through. It's very, very strange. Who we got? Kensani? Okay, Kensani, hi.
Hi, Gareth. How are you?
What's up?
Oh, I just wanted to call in and tell Leanne, wow, your body hates you.
My body hates me.
Leanne.
Oh, Leanne's body. Yeah, shame.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Isn't it awful?
No. Wow, no, it's horrible. And about the snoring. Man, I wanted to kill my friend the other day. She was there,
mm-hmm.
and she snored so badly, I literally wanted to put the pillow over her head. I woke up and told her that. Like, nope, we can't do this. Move to the couch, please.
Now, Gensani, imagine being married to someone who does that. They don't even know.
I would not make it. Yeah. I would not make it.
I know people who now sleep in separate beds or even separate rooms, even though they love each other and they've been together for some time, just because they can't handle the snoring.
Yep, and then sleep apnea too. Oh my goodness, Ian, I'm so sorry. I gasped when I heard that.
Thank
how
you.
How many times do you stop breathing in the middle of the night?
I gasped too, all night. Oh man.
That's funny.
Thank you for your sympathy.
Hey, Kensani, what are you up to? What are you doing this weekend?
I'm just working. I might go to see Lauren Hill a little bit on Saturday, but I have a deadline with a client. I'm in auditing, so.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay. Working. Lauren Hill's here?
Yeah, she's here with Nas at the Ticket Pro Dome. I just hope she shows up.
I haven't been paying attention. I didn't even realize she was here. I like Lauren Hill, but she doesn't like white people, so I don't know if I'm welcome. No, really, she doesn't. I mean, she's made it very clear. Like, if I go, she's probably going to call me out and tell me to leave. So I think I better stay.
For being white. Yeah, oh, that's too bad.
No, she really does hate white people. I mean, she's said it.
Yeah. So I've actually picked up on that.
I will expect you to report back for me. I'll live vicariously through you when you go to Lauren Hill, okay?
Yeah, I will. But my biggest hope is just that she shows up. Because when she was in Paris, she showed up there 2 hours later. She performed for only 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So I'm just hoping she actually shows up. She did put up on her page that she is going to be here with us.
What are we thinking? She's going to pitch up maybe half hour late? Are you placing bets around this?
I'm just feeling sad for the person who bought me tickets to say that she might not show up at all.
Sure.
Well, then it'll be a waste of your money and time.
Good luck. It would be a terrible time. Yeah, but I'm looking forward to her either way if she shows up.
All right.
I'm going to enjoy that, and I'm going to report back to you guys. Ben, right. I missed you.
Yeah, Ben.
Well, I'm here. I'm back. Thank you.
Yeah, thank goodness you're alive after the little car things that you had.
Yeah, thanks. Although my health was the least of the worries on that day.
That old man who was with him who almost died.
Poor him. Ooh, he had a bad deal from me, from Ben.
All right. Very good. Thank you very much for the call.
It was nice talking to you guys.
All right, Gensani. You have a great Friday. Cheers. There we go. Isn't that nice?
It's actually so bad to be part of Lauryn Hill's team. Because they constantly have to reaffirm people that actually she will pitch up, she will pitch up.
Really, they have to.
They had to send out a press release.
This chick just sounds like a disaster.
Ago.
Her rampant racism aside, she just sounds like one of those. Oh, I'm so important. I blah blah. No,
well, she is. You were
90s, sweetheart. You were 90s. You can come and preach all this kind of stuff to people who are desperate for your lies, but you will not get my ticket, Lauryn Hill.
Oh,
look at Ben, which strident Ben,
which she doesn't care about, obviously, but hey.
Oh, okay. Inspirited counts, Ben.
I don't know when this was recorded. It must have been before the election because Jimmy Kimmel's done nothing since the election but talk about what an ass Trump is. But it was an interesting thing, and I found someone forwarded it to me on WhatsApp, and I just thought it was entertaining because Jimmy Kimmel basically wrote a children's book for Donald Trump. Did you ever see this?
Yes, I did.
Have you heard it? Maybe it's boring and old.
I haven't heard this.
Okay.
I love this stuff. I know you don't like to talk about how much money you have, but how much money do you have?
So they talk a little bit, and, you know, it goes like any other late night show. And then eventually Jimmy Kimmel says, well, I've written a children's book for you. And here he starts with this.
So I've ghostwritten a book that I put your name on, okay? And it's called Winners Aren't Losers. It's for children.
But may I read? Winners Aren't Losers, all right?
I like it. All right, Winners Aren't Losers. By Donald J. Trump. Winners aren't losers. They're winners, like me. A loser's a loser. Which one will you be? Good. Winners do deals and winners get rich, while sad little losers just sit there and bitch.
Could be a good seller.
My daughter loves it. The dog is a loser, and frankly, I pity it. This dog did bad deals. This dog is an idiot. And poor Mr. Bear, he must feel like a loser, valeting that 2006 PT Cruiser. This lobster's a loser. Throw him in the pot. I like a lobster who doesn't get caught. Those losers are failures who get nothing done. Just do what I do and you'll be number one. Now, here are some frogs I do not like at all. We must kick these frogs out and then build a wall. Oh, the places you'll go on your yacht, on your plane, with your suits from Milan and your wives from Ukraine. Oh, the buildings you'll build, oh, the wealth you'll amass, oh, the people around you all kissing your ass. There are two kinds of people. Which one will you be? A loser like them? Would you like to finish? Or a winner?
Like me.
I do love that. I mean, Trump took part in it and, you know, he was a very good sport about the whole thing, but I think it was just, it was cute, and I only saw it this week because I don't watch Kimmel, but I thought it was good.
Yeah.
And what a great book that would be. I would buy that if I had a child to let them read it, about losers and winners.
Nothing gentle while in they're young. Yeah.
Oh, start them good. Young.
All right. Who wants to know about some of the stuff in the news, and who wants to know about Leanne's aunt's anus?
Oh. Yeah, well, is that a choice? News?
Let's go with
anus,
the latter.
News, anus.
Anus.
That's it.
All right.
Yeah, you remember she went in for a colonoscopy.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually a bladder issue, but they thought, let's do the colonoscopy at the same time.
Right.
And the form came back and it had a picture of the colon and leading down to the other colon and then leading down to the sphincter anus.
You've got the ascending colon, the transverse colon, and the descending colon. So they're basically shaped like an upside down U.
Yes.
The left-hand side is the ascending. You've got the top of the U upside down, which is the transverse, and then you've got the descending colon, and then that leads to the
anus. Okay. They're actually, and rectum, where rectum comes into it somewhere as well.
The rectum is from the anus inside to the descending colon.
Yes, so that bit.
it's important.
Did
to
you know that
this.
Some people's are big and some are small?
Yes.
Are we talking
some
about
are
the actual
just
anus?
The right size?
Some people have not a rectum at all.
Some people have. Yes. And my cousin is a
oh, this is too close to
God, your whole family are ruined.
My cousin is a pediatric surgery, and she specializes in building assholes for babies who are born without.
Without assholes.
Wow.
Building
yes.
assholes.
You won't believe how common it is.
That's her speciality?
Yeah.
What does she do? How does she get that? Does
do
she take
build
the...
an asshole?
What does her business card say? So many questions.
I've never asked her because she what always tools? Answers with photographs.
What tools does she use?
Well, like Crystal, who makes our cakes from Sensational Sugar.
No, we don't want
she
to.
Has ingredients like, you know, milk and flour.
Is
and
it like fitting a sink?
Sugar. What you have if you're building an asshole is you have sphincter muscle.
Oh. Things that look like plumbing tools.
Yes.
And do you have
various
like,
spatulas
do you
and
have to
speculums?
Go for like size changes. You know, like you get
yes,
like,
but you won't believe how what nine. They do. While you're under anesthetic, what they did with her this last time, they stretched it.
Stretch your anus.
And I didn't quite know how. I thought maybe they used a tool or, you know, prongs or something like that. But she went back and the doctor said, oh, okay, so I think, you know, last time when you were here, I inserted two fingers into your anus. But I think I'm going to give you this powder to sprinkle over your food to loosen up things. And
wow.
Let's hope that this works. And in 3 months, come back if you're still having issues. And then I'll repeat the procedure, but this time I'll use three fingers.
Oh.
Sounds a bit abusive.
And it's a big doctor with big man hands.
Wow. What a fascinating world. You know, you wake up in the morning, you think, I'm happy to be alive. I can get a breakfast.
I've got a good sized anus.
I got a great sized anus. I'm lucky. I don't need to have my anus size
but
changed.
What if they build you an arsehole, but you put a bit of a press on as you get a bit bigger, and then you'd lose your arsehole in the bog?
No. Well, Ben, I don't, like, we shouldn't be thinking
guys,
about
I mean, it's a fair question, okay? They're building you an arsehole, so obviously there's structural stuff involved, but there's got to be that sort of, you know, gateway.
Well, I actually dated someone off? Who had two arseholes.
What?
Or maybe I was married to him.
Oh. Oh. Don't reveal any more about the identity. But wait, this seems so, whatever I'm going
so
to
your
ask.
Aunt,
where are the two arseholes? Where were they positioned?
The one doesn't have a rectum or anything. It was just that, it was almost as if
it's
God,
like a balloon
God
knot.
Had left a stitch at the top of the crack.
Did it open?
Like a balloon knot.
Like a balloon knot. It didn't go into anything. Your finger goes in and it stops. Like a belly button.
Sia's freaked out. Maybe this is what you want for your birthday, Sia.
Would you like
a second
asshole?
No thanks. Logging out, checking out. Thank you, man. Bye.
Oh, what a great day. All right. So your aunt has had her anus enlarged.
And might have to have it made even bigger.
Wow.
And why don't they use... come on, folks. We're in
you
2019. Why don't they use a tool? Why does he have to use his fingers?
Maybe it's the best tool.
Or maybe he just enjoys it.
No. And how does your cousin then build an asshole as well?
Well, let's get her in here. Let's talk about
it. Yeah, let's do that.
That could be fun. I don't see why we should speculate about these things when we have no idea. We're just sensationalizing and making a mockery. Let's actually get someone who knows what they're doing.
She could probably tell you a little bit about government hospitals and things like that.
Well, I'd like to know where they get the raw materials to build an asshole. I think that's a good idea.
And also just their take on things like fisting. Like, you know, it'd be a very interesting conversation.
Yeah, imagine the horror stories
she's heard. She's had a prisoner in before he was brought in from prisoner who had an Aromat bottle stuck up there.
He stole
See, there's always another level with
heart.
Your stories, Leanne.
I'm
there's
sorry. And I'm actually
level.
Trying to keep it subtle.
All right. Let's talk about some of the other stuff going on. Apparently, there's a lost metropolis they've discovered, archaeologists have discovered, in South Africa. Is that
yes,
true?
That is true.
What was it called?
It's just on the outskirts of Joburg. It was once thought to be a scattering of ancient stone huts, but it's turned out to be the remnants of a thriving city lost to history for almost 200 years.
Really?
Yes. So beneath the dense vegetation, there's not much to see with the naked eye, But they've been researching there for 3 decades, these archaeologists.
Yeah.
And they've only just barely scratched the surface now of this long lost settlement. So we're going to find out a whole lot more coming soon because, technology's developed. Now they're using something called LIDAR, which is light detection and ranging. And that's like cutting edge laser technology.
Yep.
And now it's finally revealed just the tip of this metropolis made up of hundreds of households and trade networks. Hmm. The research has brought this city called Gweneng back to life.
Hmm.
So Gweneng is thought to have had 800 homesteads, housing no less than 10,000 people. And it's also filling in a huge historical gap for Southern Africa, because, you know, not having a written record, this is exactly the route that they have to take. They have to literally dig to find it.
And it's only 200 years old. So it's not even like we're going into ancient history here. We're trying to just discover what happened 200 years ago.
Yes.
I mean, there should be more evidence.
Nothing. They have had absolutely no written evidence whatsoever.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see what happens. That sounds interesting.
Gweneng.
You want to hear from Sarah Huckabee Sanders?
Uh-oh.
She says that, remember who she is? She's this White House spokesperson. She basically said that God wanted Donald Trump to be president. You want to hear it in her own words? I don't want to put words in her mouth because she'll come over here and slap me upside the head. She's very hardcore and very scary.
White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders said on Wednesday that God, quote, wanted Donald Trump to become president. Sanders spoke with the Christian Broadcasting Network, and during the interview she was asked for a spiritual perspective on Trump's presidency. Sanders responded, quote, I think God calls all of us to fill different roles at different times, and I think he wanted Donald Trump to become president. And that's why he's there, and I think he's done a tremendous job in supporting a lot of the things that people of faith really care about. Trump has often courted the support of evangelical leaders, and many high-profile evangelicals have defended him despite criticism regarding his rhetoric on immigration, race, and other subjects.
Hmm. So there we go.
We don't have to talk about the politics of it all. We can talk about the craziness of it all. And this does not sound normal.
It still fits into No Politics Friday. I mean, it's, you know, it's the supernatural and, you know, whether God wanted Donald Trump to be president or not. Carl says, could you please ask Leanne if the guy with the two assholes could shit twice as quickly?
Oh, that's a great
idea. No, for that you need to ask Damon because he's actually got two that shit.
That's right. That's right.
It's actually one that's, got skin over the middle of it. So it's one that's split into two.
Jesus, suddenly you see his cake is looking far less appetizing.
Oh, that's revolting. Eating 5-day-old pasta or rice can actually kill you.
Yeah, I saw this
story.
If
you're one of those people who keeps pasta or rice for more than 5 days, listen to this.
Why? Does it get acidic? Or?
I saw this story on Monday or Tuesday. Of someone who died of food poison from eating 5-day-old pasta and Napolitana sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of glanced over it, but it's become quite a big thing because, you know, the trend now is to meal prep.
Yes.
You prep your meals in jars or,
yes,
or Tupperwares or whatever.
That's
on
right.
A Sunday for the whole week. Well, this guy did the same. And by the time he got to his Friday pasta, things didn't go so great.
What happened?
He began vomiting and was really feeling ill, went to bed, and his parents found him dead in the morning.
That's very heavy. Just from pasta that was 5 days old?
Yeah, he had cooked the pasta 5 days earlier, and he wanted to heat it up together with sauce. That day, he accidentally left his food on the kitchen bench for an unspecified amount of time. They say 2 hours out of the fridge is really bad.
What?
Yeah. Like sometimes if I'm cooking a pot of something and it's still too warm to put into the fridge, I'll leave it there overnight.
Yeah.
No, you can't do that. Diarrhea, abdominal pain, profuse vomiting.
Oh, my God. And, sounds horrible.
Yeah.
So don't eat the pasta that's more than...
It's all got to do with a bacterium called Bacillus cereus.
Oh, it's a serious bacillus.
It's a cereus with a C. Mm. Natural habitats include soil, animals, insects, dust, and plants, but they love, they're easily, you know, cultivated in rice, dairy products, spices, dried foods, and vegetables.
Sure.
So,
oh, that's horrendous. Okay, well, stay away
fresh.
Stay away from the 5-day-old rice.
Mm.
Here's a quick reminder. If you missed it earlier, you get a second chance to hear it now in this hour of the show. Sia's nephew did a song when he came in here the other day. We put him in front of the microphone. He started rapping, and we've turned it into a trap song. You want to hear it? Here's YOLO.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Bad nuggets, give me nuggets. Shaky nuggets, shake it nuggets. Good nuggets, bad nuggets. Crispy nuggets, chicken nuggets. Bad nuggets, give me nuggets. Shaky nuggets, shake it nuggets. Good nuggets, bad nuggets. You can run, you are so down. You can run, you can run, you can do maths. Yeah. Crispy nuggets, chicken nuggets. Bad nuggets, crispy nuggets. Shaky nuggets, shake it nuggets. Good nuggets, bad nuggets.
Isn't that brilliant? That really is a work of art.
I think Sia is so jealous he left the studio.
He did. He's actually quite cross that his nephew's upstaged him. Just 2 days ahead of his birthday.
He's gone straight into the other recording studio to write a new song to try and supersede this one.
One of the other things I wanted to get to is the Super Bowl, which Sia briefly mentioned. Big commercials to play during the game have started making the rounds. You know, it's a huge deal in America because you get a 30-second commercial and they literally pour their entire advertising budget into it because you've got the most eyes on the screen. Any given stage through the year while the Super Bowl halftime show is on. So you've got all the big advertising agencies vying for, you know, the cleverest, most brilliant, funniest commercial, and they usually all come out around this time. But the Pepsi ad that stars Steve Carell, Little John, and Cardi B is getting quite a lot of attention. You've heard about this?
Your favorite, Cardi.
I love Cardi B. She's my girlfriend. So do you want to hear this?
Sure.
Okay. So let's take a listen, and maybe you like this too. It's hard with just the audio, but you can always look it up yourself and take a look later, and you know, get into more of it. So here it is, the Pepsi commercial with Cardi B and Steve Carell. Okay.
Is Pepsi okay?
Is Pepsi okay? Is Pepsi okay? Ow! Are puppies okay? Is a shooting star okay?
Is the laughter of a small child okay?
Pepsi's more than okay. It's okay. Okay, what have we learned today?
You want a Pepsi?
I want a Pepsi.
There you go. Okay.
I've got to come up with my own catchphrase.
Okay.
All right, that's the best they can do for this year's Super Bowl.
So basically just take Cardi B's song.
Yeah,
and make it work. And the 40-year-old virgin.
Right.
Yeah, the Super Bowl halftime and the Super Bowl
big budgets make you lazy.
Finale in general is always interesting to see how year after year it's tackled, and particularly because it's just part of the culture so much and reflective of the time. So for the past couple of, Ben, please interject with some sports knowledge here. It's more than a year, the Colin Kaepernick thing.
Yeah.
Colin taking a knee and he isn't playing in the NFL. And so people have been saying, no, the NFL, who's the organization who puts the Super Bowl together, needs to do something about it, needs to stand up and say something. And they haven't all this time. And people, Rihanna was meant to perform this year initially. Mm-hmm. And she said, no, I'm going to support Colin, and I said no to the Super Bowl. Jay-Z also was asked, and he said no to the Super Bowl. Maroon 5 was asked, and they said yes.
Yeah,
well, so now is looking.
Maroon 5 will play your wedding if you pay them enough.
Well, literally in one of their music videos, they do.
Yeah.
So now everyone has been looking at Maroon 5 like arms crossed. What are you guys doing with this? And so Maroon 5 are trying to feel like they're supporting the cause by bringing a whole bunch of black rappers to their set. When last did you hear of Big Boy from Outkast?
Oh, no, please. Nobody's spoken to him. He was in Leanne's sleep apnea clinic last week trying to get a job.
Oh, okay.
Give me a favor. Hey, George Meany's here. It's time for us to check in on the world of cars. George is, of course, the CEO of Auto Trader in his daytime job, his actual job. And then he pops in here every Friday to give us an update. He just got back from San Francisco.
Yeah, it's getting dirtier there.
Is it? Yeah. It's all those homeless people.
How's it, Leanne? Hello, Sia. Hello, Ben.
Was it cold? Because America, apparently the temperature in Chicago yesterday was colder than the temperature in the Antarctic.
People are dying.
Yeah.
And having limbs amputated.
They're going through what they call a polar vortex. Now, I know Chicago's a long way from San Fran where you were, but was it chilly?
At night, but no. It wasn't chilly. It was
the Midwest, basically, yeah. Mainly where it's been.
Every time I've been to America, except for this time, I've been stuck there for 2 days in some sort of snowstorm.
Really?
Every single time.
So you always go in February or January?
Yes.
Yeah, it's horrible.
I was stuck in New York a couple of years ago for 2 days extra.
Yeah.
Wow. Because there was a blizzard.
And it's not like you can go out and enjoy the place when there's a blizzard.
Well, funny thing is, I was stupid enough to say, well, stuff this. I'm going to go walk around Central Park.
Uh-oh.
And it wasn't blizzard that day, but it was freaking cold.
And there's that black ice all over the roads. So you slip and slide and fall unless you've got boots on.
It was cold and it was slippery.
All right. And so why were you in San Fran?
So there is a big automotive show that goes on there every year. And 28,000 people descend on the show. It's one of the biggest. Well, it is the biggest in the world. So if you're anybody that's anybody in the automotive world, you've got to go there.
Sounds amazing. What did you see? What did you hear? Who did you meet?
A lot of people. So I've been going there for a number of years and, you know, the first year I went, it was foreign and you learn stuff. Now I'm going and I'm actually, you know, busier than I expect to be because you're looking at the show, you're going to visit companies and then you're having meetings and your day just gets incredibly busy.
Are there interesting new ideas bobbing around at these things? Are you talking to the people who are on the creative edge when it comes to electronic cars and
San Francisco, exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
So all of that stuff exists there, and you get to experience the first world of where all our digital technology comes from.
Mm. Well, you are in the middle of like
Silicon Valley,
the world's most creative place.
So yeah, it's fascinating. San Francisco itself seems to be getting dirtier.
Well, it is. They've got a problem. They vote Democrat.
Oh.
No, I mean, San Francisco is attempting to be the most left-leaning city in America. It always has. And for some, you know, reasons, that's a great thing. I mean, clearly, yeah, it's a place where you could be very free and, you know, people are allowed to be who they want to be, but it's expensive as all hell. And what happens is people can't afford the rents. They've got higher homelessness rates in San Francisco than anywhere else in America. The more homeless people on the streets of San Fran than any other city. And it's run by these lefties who, you know, they really are more interested in social issues than practical economic issues. And they end up not being able to balance their budgets. San Francisco is a tough place to live in unless you are a billionaire. And if you do work for Google or for Facebook or any of these places, it's very hard to find a place to live, even if you're being paid a lot of money.
I was fascinated by the increase in the number of homeless people on the streets itself. And these people are massively affected by drugs.
Yeah.
And they walk down the street and they shouting at some invisible person next to them.
Well, there's a lot of mental illness too among homeless people. That's a reality.
You know, I took one or two photographs of a lady that was sitting at the entrance to an underground and she looked normal. Yep. Until she opened her mouth. Exactly.
George Miller, you bastard! Right?
Exactly like
that. They start screaming at you.
They scream and carry on. And, you know, you don't feel threatened because I didn't feel threatened unless it was a false sense of security. But it's fascinating that this goes on.
Yeah, say all you want about Texas. It doesn't happen there. Really?
No, never been there. Yeah.
So, okay. Let's get into some of the stories of the day. It sounds like you had a very good trip. You must be armed with plenty of useful and interesting information. Give us a taste.
I'll give you a taste. So, starting from home.
Okay.
South Africa's electric car sales are projected to grow significantly. So the worldwide percentage of electric cars is at around 11%.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. And, South African naysayers think that South Africa is not ready for it. There's no charging stations. How are we going to get these things to Durban or Cape Town? But we must remember that our products come from Europe and Asia.
Yes.
We don't get our products from America.
Yes.
And Europe and Asia have this path to electrification that we can't stop. So we have to electrify.
Right.
So good. The projection is we are going to be electrified sooner than we think. And we'll probably reach probably about 10% of our sales within the next couple of years will be electric cars.
Hmm. Now, so in other words, for us, it's inevitable.
Yes.
It's not going to be like in America where you have your gas-guzzling diesel engine pickup truck for another 100 years because that's what you want to do and you can fight the system. We're basically going to have to go electric. This is great news and it's terrifying. First of all, it's great news because we want to get off of petrol. The petrol price is a massive problem for us to deal with, and the prices of everything keep going up because of the petrol price being so irregular. But then we have Eskom as our main electricity provider, which means that there may be lots of people who are stranded because their car couldn't charge.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a double-edged
sword. Why didn't you come to work? Because I was load-shedded.
Yeah. I don't know if this is all good, but let's try to be optimistic.
Well, one of the biggest barriers that we have to get over in the next very short while is import taxes on cars, because trying to import an electric car now is hard because of the import taxes. So once that is resolved and the National Automobile Association of South Africa is addressing this import tax issue, because once that import tax is there's relief on it for electric vehicles,
okay,
we'll see the growth rate climb.
All right.
And then the world's longest electric car journey hit 89,000 kilometers. This guy retrofitted a VW that couldn't do more than 200 kilometers on a single charge. And he managed to do 89,000 kilometers from Europe all the way to Australia.
Amazing.
And he did it with no money. So all he relied on was people giving him a meal, a place to sleep, and charging his car.
Oh, goodness.
That's all he relied on.
How long did it take him?
Took him 1,050 days across 33 countries.
Oh, well, you know, I always wonder about these people who get to do these things, break these records. They obviously don't have jobs because that's 1,000. That's 3 years.
Yeah, that's 3 years to do a very, very, very long trip. Don't know if I would want to, but good on him. Good on him.
All right.
And then I pulled this one out just for you, Gareth. Mm-hmm. Touch your steering wheel. Mm-hmm. It may be dirtier than a toilet seat.
Oh, no. I know this. I know. I knew it all along. You know, if I get like an itchy eye and I scratch my eye while I'm driving, it ends up swelling up because of all this shit that's on there.
Okay. So some people did some research and they surveyed 1,000 drivers and asked them how often they clean their car. A third of people clean their car once a year.
Oh, filthy, dirty animals. that's animal. You shouldn't even have a car if you treat it like that.
12% of people never wash their car in the lifetime of having that car.
That is revolting. And the rest?
700 strains of live bacteria are inside the average car. Meaning that when you eat food in your car, you're exposing yourself to getting sick. Because as food spills on the interior and the sun bakes on it, there's bacteria that begins growing. And the technical term is colony-forming units of bacteria. The average car steering wheel was found to have 629 colony-forming units per square centimeter.
I must stop licking it.
Now, here's some other statistics. So this car, your car steering, or maybe not your car steering, but the average car steering is 6 times dirtier than the cell phone screen.
Yeah. And we know how filthy that is.
4 times dirtier than a public toilet seat. And 2 times dirtier than an elevator button. But guess what is more dirty than all of them? A petrol pump.
Alan Ford's office.
A petrol pump.
11,000 times dirtier.
No. A petrol pump is.
A petrol pump.
Oh, well,
the handle of it.
But are they doing that in America? Because you know, again, everybody who pulls up has to fill their own car. So
okay.
Filthy people who pitch up. I think in South Africa, because we've got petrol attendants, it's probably a little less because it's the same person's hands over and over again.
Well, I'm glad that's an American thing, because then what would the credit card machine then be?
If they're handing you
a credit card machine from the dirty pump.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
They did research on escalators. The one study they did, the highest, the biggest load of stuff that they found was actually semen.
On an escalator?
Yes. Oh.
Nasty. It was cracking one off in the box there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just gross.
All right. Jeez. Well, then I'm afraid to get into my car. I thought it was my safe space. Clearly not. I've got that. I know you've got the problem too. You keep alcohol, like a hand sanitizer.
Yeah,
you keep that in your bag, right?
I keep it. I keep one in my bag, one in my car, one on my desk.
There we go. George even installed one at the entrance to his offices. How do you like that?
Whoa! Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to keep people, because they obviously touch things as they enter the building, and he wants them clean. I think that's very sensible.
The bacteria that we can't see. Is the stuff that makes us sick.
Yeah.
It passes the germs around.
And who wants to get sick? Listen, I feel sorry for parents. Their kids go to school. They got no chance. Those kids are going to come home full of bacteria and diseases from other people's filthy little children. And then the whole family gets sick.
Exactly. And it gets passed around.
It's really one of the things I thought about when I decided I wasn't going to have children. That I wouldn't at least have to deal with other people's germs coming into my house thanks to little brats. Really?
But now your own germs in your own car might be killing you.
Oh, it's horrible.
Well, Gareth washes his car, so it's all right.
Plus, I have my dog in the car so often. I mean, it must be even worse.
Yeah, that's bad. That's very bad.
On a lighter note, you can avoid a speeding ticket now if you drive a Ford, because Ford has developed this new technology that you can switch on and off, obviously, controls the car's throttle depending on what the cameras see on the road signs.
Oh, wow.
So if it says 60 k's an hour, the car will automatically not allow itself to go over 60 kilometers an hour.
Brilliant.
Which I think is a good idea.
Especially for long road trips. That's useful.
Yes, you can push that throttle as much as you want. And then Google is coming out with a Google Maps update.
Oh, thank goodness.
It's already in San Francisco. Now they're rolling it out to the rest of America. We will get it last probably in 2050.
What do you use as your navigating tool? Do you use
Google Maps?
Google Maps.
A lot of people use Waze. Waze already has this technology that I'm about to talk about. So it's nice that Google's getting it. And that is a display of the speed limit at the bottom of the map.
I got that. Waze is fantastic. Yeah. I never use anything else. Mm. It's never let me down. Waze is always right. I trust Waze. Someone will say to me, turn left here, turn left here. And Waze says, keep going. I keep going. I don't listen to people. Waze knows best. They can even tell you where there's congestion and traffic, and I've saved hours of my life. Thank God. I want to thank the Lord for Waze right now. I want to take 5 seconds of the day to thank the Lord for Waze and all those brilliant people who invented that app. Oh, God bless you all.
And the church said, a Waze, a Waze, a Waze.
There we go. All right. Thank you, George.
Thank you.
That's very good stuff for a Friday morning. Sia, have a happy birthday on Sunday.
Thank you very much.
Yay.
Let's wrap it up with the un-news for this morning. Are you ready? Okay, the SABC has scrapped its plan to retrench people. Financially, they simply have to do it, but doing so will make them look like an actual business, and they can't do that. Being a failed, sniveling corporation means you have to continue to get government money, and that money is something you don't ever have to work for either. Well, that's the model for the SABC. The Basase hearings have continued, and with this, the executives of the company are starting to get a little edgy. Not because of the information that's being exposed, because of all this preventing them from finding out who the bribes should go to ahead of the elections. Elections for them is like super brew for rugby fans. If you don't get your picks in now, you lose out. And finally, South Africa's super rugby teams get to be superheroes this weekend, and they're thrilled about this, mostly because post this doubleheader weekend at Cape Town Stadium, the actual Super Rugby tournament starts, and that has the appeal of Keira Knightley in a cardigan, i.e. not very attractive. All right, have a good day, everybody. We will see you on Monday, bright and early at 6 o'clock, right here at CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.